Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to another edition of The Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR, coming to you live from the Girls Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Palmer School. It is Thursday, Friday Eve, the 24th of March, and we are here for another edition of Cigars with The Cave Show, Sports Talk Radio. We are loaded today. There's so much to get into today. It is insane. March Madness kicks off again tonight. So we will jump into that. My bracket looks like a dog ate it, tore it up, left it for someone else. They tore it up, spit it out. My bracket is so busted that isn't even a word or a phrase. So we'll go over the team's plan the rest of the weekend or tonight and tomorrow and get into who has the best chance to win. Usually I say put your money on what I tell you. Don't do it. If I pick a team, go opposite. Don't even go opposite. Run the other way. So we'll get into all of that as well today. The Suns just keep winning. We will touch on that. When did the NFL become the NBA with all these moves? Every day you look up, there's another move. So we will get into some of those moves that went on with the NFL. Word came out earlier that there is another grand jury meeting that is going to look into charges, more criminal charges, against Deshaun Watson. So that's not quite over. He has his $230 million guaranteed, but it's not quite over yet. We will touch on that as well. And, of course, joining me a little bit later to discuss a whole bunch of this stuff will be the one, the only, Michael Caratino, host of Believe in Pac-12 Basketball. Like I said, this is PLR coming to you live from Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School in Chandler Heights, locally here in Chandler. Get on down there and let them know that PLR sent you 10% off of your cigar purchase. You can also become a club member, get your access to our member lounge, where you can sit back, relax, and do sort of feel unwind so you can enjoy your adult beverage while you're having your cigar. Plenty of places to sit and relax and chill. Also, if you're not a member, there's still plenty of great places for you to sit, relax, and enjoy a great steak. Now, if you can't make it down here, there's no worries there whatsoever. Just go to Stogie World, StogieWorld.com. If you order early enough in the day, shipment will ship out the exact same day. Otherwise, get your butt down here. Let them know the PLR sent you. Let them know the Sports Game, the Game Show sent you. And you get 10% off of your cigar purchase only at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Excuse me. Okay, so let's start at the beginning. There's been moves after moves after moves in football. The big one yesterday was Tyreek Hill going from the Kansas City Chiefs to the Miami Dolphins. And there's been a lot of talk, who's better? Who's going to be better? Will Patrick Mahomes be better without him? Not in terms of better, but will he be better as in okay? Or will Tyreek Hill be better? Let me say this. I love the move. I do. I think there's only so much you can pay a wide receiver and keep integrity of the salary cap together. It wasn't like KC didn't offer him money, but Miami threw the whole bag at him. He's the highest paid wide receiver in football. His agent was making around today, and their baseline, as Drew Rosenhaus said, was the contract that Devontae Adams signed. So once Devontae Adams signed, that's where they set their baseline at. And they wanted to be over that and get paid more. And the Chiefs just simply couldn't do it. And the Chiefs gave him the right to look for a trade and make something happen. What I like about good teams and what I like about certain players, there wasn't a lot of talk before. The day that it dropped was the day that it happened. When Devontae Adams moved, the day that it talked was the day that it happened. I hate it when stuff lingers out there because it makes both sides take a side. But I like the move for KC, and here's why. You still have Mecole Hardman, who's a very fast receiver, who can slide into that spot. The Chiefs got 5 draft picks. Let me remind everyone, this is not the NBA. 5 draft picks are a lot of picks, especially when they're in this draft. So they were able to stock drafts. And if you pay any attention to the NFL over the last 3 years, every year there's 3 or 4 wide receivers that come out that can just fall. And that come out that are just Pro Bowl-type wide receivers when they step on the field. You saw it with Ja'Marr Chase. You saw it with the kid from Minnesota. You saw it with Waddle. You saw it with all these other young guys. They can come in and fill that position. The thing that they're doing is they're going to be filling that position with someone who will be on a rookie deal. That's a lot of money saved over the next 4 to 5 years. So you have to do that in football. The one thing in football that you have to remember more than anything is you can't fall in love with the players so much that they disrupt your cap going forward. That's really important to do. It seems cold. It seems heartless. But when done right, you can move on and off of players. The other thing, Tyreek is a slot receiver. You can't pay a slot receiver like that. Miami, on the other hand, and you can be right about 2 things at once, Miami needed that. They need to prove that Tua is that guy. So what have they done for Tua? Well, they got him some offensive line help. They got him a coach that coaches offense. They signed Edmonds off of the Arizona Cardinals roster. They signed Mostert off of the San Francisco roster. And now they bring in another receiver. And they drafted a receiver last year in Waddle. So now he has running back. He has a good tight end in Gesicki. He has a line that can block. And he has receivers on either side. Let me tell you something. What Miami's basically done is told to us, we got you everything you need to be successful. If you can't make it work with those 2 running backs, that tight end, and these receivers, and don't forget they have Cedric Wilson. If you can't make all this work, Tua, you're not the one. 2 Gloves is a backup, but don't kid yourself. Teddy 2 Gloves is the king of the checkdown. So they can have receivers that can run 90 yards in 2 seconds. He ain't throwing them the ball. So this is all up to Tua to give him all the help that he needs. Mahomes in Kansas City, they will be fine. They will absolutely be fine. Like I said, they still have Hardman. They still have Travis Kelce. They still have Clyde Edmonds-Helaire. They'll draft another wide receiver, and they'll bring him in and bring him along. You got probably one of the best play callers as your head coach that has ever coached this game. They will be absolutely fine. And what I like is they've basically said, look, we can win with the guys that we have in this division. Because you got everyone keeps talking about the division like the L.A. Chargers are this great team. Let me remind everyone, L.A. Chargers still haven't made the playoffs. Still haven't made the playoffs. I don't care how great the quarterback is, still haven't made the playoffs. Can Bosa stay healthy all year? As much as I love Khalil Mack, he's older. Part of the reason the Bears let him go is because they don't want to rework that deal again to fit under the salary cap, and he can't stay healthy. Offensively, Austin Ekeler, always get banged up. He's a smaller back. Wide receivers, always get banged up. So before we discount them in that mix, let's see what they can actually do. We already know every year there are 4 teams in each league, in the AFC and the NFC, 4 each, that fall out of the playoffs that make the playoffs. So if I quickly just look at the AFC, which is a gauntlet between both leagues, there's certain teams that you know that are just going to be flat out good. Buffalo should just be flat out good. And obviously all this is barring injuries. Cincinnati, I don't believe what everyone else believes, that this is a team that had their one shot. No, they went out and did some stuff too. They helped their offensive line. They got a little bit better on the edge. And this team is going to be there again. Tennessee, a lot of people have a lot of faith in Indianapolis catching Tennessee with Matt Ryan. I am sorry. I'm not one of them. I think Matt Ryan was, those of you that went to school in Tucson, was a good quarterback. I think he's solid. I think he'll bring stability. I don't think he will make Indianapolis an automatic playoff team. I still think Tennessee is a class of that, of the AFC South. Jacksonville will have a second-year quarterback, and Houston will have David Mills as their quarterback. And no, he's not related to Stafford. So, no, they will be the Houston Texans. Tua, let's just say they're better. It's enough to get to the playoffs. New England has to learn you can't just keep winning like you used to with a great defense and now with a young, serviceable quarterback. Look at the moves that have been made. And look at the moves that weren't made. New England went out. You tell me the impact player they have, the one player that can just break everything open. They don't have one. Which means every drive they make has to be a long drive, has to be perfect. No big play people. They didn't improve. Miami did. The Jets got a little bit of help on the line. We'll see what they do in the draft. But they're not going to come from 4-13 and take over Buffalo. Pittsburgh got Mitchell Trubisky. Honestly, I think they'll be better with him. They couldn't play Mason Rudolph. Could not. They would have been better off playing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Mason Rudolph is garbage. Cleveland, they'll get better, but now, again, a second grand jury is out. What will happen with Deshaun Watson? The Baltimore Ravens. I like the formula, but let's stop and think again. Every year, they slowly got a little worse. Do they really have any threat outside of Lamar Jackson? I've already given you the South. The AFC West, on the other hand, moves left and right. The Raiders shored up their defense. Chandler Jones comes over. They bring Devontae Adams. Big play, one strike. Became him with Hunter Renfro and Waller. That is an incredible offensive team. The Broncos, they go out and they get Russell Wilson. Again, more punch. So these teams are lining themselves up. It's going to be a lot of the same. Maybe San Diego, wow, I did it again. I said I wasn't going to do it. Maybe the Los Angeles Chargers sneak in there. Maybe the Steelers sneak in there. But I don't look for the Patriots to be up there. At all. So we shall see. But I love the moves. Football has hijacked everything. Tom Brady hijacked the selection show. Tyreek Hill hijacked the day before we kick off the college basketball tonight. They've hijacked the whole season. Do you realize we are in April? I'm sorry. We are in March. We have 5.5 months before a football game is played. And we talk about it every show, like there's a game tomorrow. Football has done a great job of hijacking the sport. Because what's next? As soon as March Madness ends, the draft. And then OTAs. And then mandatories. And then a little break. And then training camp. Then preseason. And sandwiched in between all that, you got the NBA finals and the NBA draft. And then football goes right back. So football has done a great job. And what are we doing? It's like we're mining for gold in the 1800s in California. We're all just speculating. Because there have been no injuries. There's been no anything. There's been no draft. And the draft is the one thing that I love getting into, and we'll do that as we get closer. Because we all sit here and say, who won the draft with a bunch of kids who never played pro ball? So we'll see, but we can see where teams are setting up to go in the draft. As we get closer to the draft, I will have on the one, the only Sean Sierra. You know, I mean, he covers the Bears in Chicago. We'll have him on to talk about the direction that the Bears will go in. Same with the Cardinals. We'll have a couple guys on from the Cardinals to talk about the direction of that team as well. But the NFL is great. They are brilliant. They are absolutely brilliant at getting you to talk about them when there hasn't been a game played for almost 2 months. And we're still talking about the NFL. Listen, we're going to jump away for a second. When we get back, we're about 5 minutes away from my guy, the one only, Michael Caracanudo. We do all that, got to pick up bills. It's occasional, PLR.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
You never know what you'll hear on The Cave Show.
Here's the bottom line. If people were having great sex, we'd have world peace.
You know, one day I was riding around with a friend, and the alarm on my watch went off. And I turned to my friend and I said, "Hey, shut up. Because I need to listen to The Cave Show with PLR."
Welcome back to The Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. Thank you for hanging out with us today. Coming to you live, of course, from Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, as we do every single Thursday. Cigars with The Cave Show. Listen, make sure you're following us on social media at The Sports Cave. That's on the Twitter, the Instagram, and the Facebook. Cave is with the K. The website is thesportscave.com. Again, Cave is with a K. And you can get me directly on the Twitter at PLR on Sports. Now, listen, if you missed the show live, you know the easiest way to do it is to go to sportscave.com. Hit the listen live button, there we are. But if you ever miss the show, we are on Spotify. We are on iHeartRadio. So make sure you're following The Cave Show. It's brought to you by The Sports Cave. And every time there is a new show, you will get the update. So download those apps from the Google App Store. Excuse me, the Apple App Store, the Google Play Store, or anywhere you get your apps from. So let me give you a quick warning about my Twitter, just so you know. I told you before, I don't just tweet sports. So I'm in this battle right now. I better say this before Mike calls in. I'm in this battle right now. And you can judge me if you want to. I don't care. Judge all you want. But I'm on this battle with Days of Our Lives. So the writers are pissing me off. It is the laziest writing in the world. And yes, I do tweet about Days of Our Lives. Like I said, everyone has their vice. Mine is I watch the stupid soap opera. But it's the laziest writing in the world. Terrible writing. And they're just recycling the same old thing over and over again. And if I seem like I'm getting heated on my tweets about this, it is because when I make an investment in a show, I invest in the show. I don't half-ass the show. I invest in the show. And unfortunately, I started watching the soap opera. And you can tell me I watch soaps, but I'm sure you guys watch American Idol, or you watch The Voice, or you watch Power, or you watch something else. Those are soap operas. So don't fool yourself. My soap, I just happen to claim, is Days of Our Lives. So I watch. So if you see sports Twitter, why is Days of Our Lives doing this? Yes, that's still me. In fact, it's on DVR, set to record at 2 o'clock. So somewhere tonight, I will be checking out my show, my Days of Our Lives. So those, just so you know, anything that's on my mind from PLR on Sports. So I'm watching the Suns game last night, and we'll get into this with Mike. Let me tell you, let me put the NBA on notice. Devin Booker isn't that dude to mess with. I'm not going to repeat word for word what he said to a fan. You can go on Twitter. And a lot of people said he should be fined. And he probably should. He'll probably end up donating $20,000 for that. But I think it shows you that they were playing Minnesota last night. Minnesota does a lot of chirping. A lot of chirping. And it's unchirped back. But the Suns chirp back at the end with the final score.
Yeah.
And that's the way you chirp back. And then they did their talking. And then the Minnesota Timberwolves looked like some scared little schoolgirls who loved it, or scared little schoolboys, whatever you want to call them. But you don't chirp at the Suns. Suns are built for that. And no, there was no Chris Paul. He's still out. And they're still just winning. And it doesn't matter. They just, next guy up comes in. There's been no Cam Johnson for almost 2 weeks. Next guy up. And it's funny when you look at these other teams like the Lakers, who has the supposed greatest player of all time, and we know that's Jordan. But they have the supposed greatest player of all time, and they're the ninth seed. And they're like, oh, if AD comes back, what we'll do? Yeah, when he comes back, before he gets hurt, 5 minutes into the next game, we'll see what happens. But I'm all in on the Suns. And the display that Devin Booker put on last night, the display that DeAndre Ayton put on last night. Remember, there was talk that Ayton should be traded for Cat. Yeah, I think we silenced some of that nonsense. Anyway, got my guy on. He's ready to go. You know who he is. And if you don't, here you go.
People, let me tell you about my best friend. He's a warm-hearted person who loves me silly.
The one, the only, Michael Carrick, who don't believe in Pac-12 basketball. My guy, what's happening, my brother?
Man, I love that. I was on my show last night, and I thought of you because one of our co-hosts said that the Suns aren't a finals team. And then I just saw on Twitter before I came on with you, I was just looking at some stuff, that the Suns have a better road record than, like, a good amount of teams have a better record, have a home record. So they're better on the road than some teams are better at home. Like, I mean, it cracks me up because you said it a few weeks ago, too. Like, don't talk of, like, the Lakers and, yeah, Anthony, what they could do. Man, he can come back. DeAndre Ayton, after last night's performance, but just this year being the year more experience in the playoffs, man, he'd back Anthony Davis down low and throw him around like a rag doll. So, I mean, it's funny to me, but, yeah, I mean, look, you got to win the games in the playoffs, the regular season, and you know me, I can't stand the phrase when people say, oh, the regular season doesn't matter. Well, and then they can't stand when I say this, Paul, I know this will shock you, when I say, so if you lose every game in the regular season, can you go to the playoffs? And they look at me, they're like, well, I don't want to, so don't tell me the regular season doesn't matter. But, like,
exactly.
Yeah, I love the way they're playing. And that winning, you know what? Sacramento down or not, the Suns, when some team is always good, you and I both know this, especially in basketball, I mean, sometimes in football, but more so in basketball, when the win they had in Sacramento was ridiculous because you have obviously no Chris Paul, no Cam Johnson, no campaign. Booker and Ayton both foul out, and they still managed to win in overtime. So if that doesn't sell the people that, and even, yeah, it's a Sacramento team who has some trades but still fighting hard. If that doesn't sell the people what the Suns can do, like, it's just not worth my breath to argue it. I'll just let their play and what Devin Booker and Ayton can do. And I saw on Twitter, and I was trying to look, but it looks like Chris Paul is going to play tonight in Denver.
It's possible. He was a possibility last night as well. So he should be good to go tonight.
Nice. Well, hey, he just needs – I say he needs about – I mean, you might know better than me a little bit, but I say, if anything, he needs about, you know, 4 to 5 games before the playoffs, and I think he'll be perfectly fine.
You know what I'm going to do for you? I want you to listen. I'm going to give you all the teams. I'm going to give you all the teams in the NBA that have a better home record than the Suns' away record. So I'm going to list them all. You ready?
Go ahead.
Ready for it? Here we go.
I'm ready.
All right. Well, I just did it. That segment was brought to you by Maduro. I just listed them all for you. You ready? Here we go. Yep. There it is. That segment was brought to you by Maduro. Those are all the teams with a better home record than the Suns' road record.
Oh, man, that's why you're the coolest. I saw that on Twitter. I thought it was like two teams, but, yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, and then it gets worse. I heard, listen, you know me. You've known me for years. I have no problem calling out people. I don't really care. And I know the guy. So I can really care. If he listens, he listens. If he doesn't, he doesn't. I doubt if he is. Anyway, but I heard Brian Windhorst on a local radio show here yesterday say the stupidest shit I think I've heard in a long time. His exact words were, to him, Devin Booker isn't an MVP. And he was asked why, but instead of answering why, he said, well, the good thing is Devin really could care less about being MVP. He just wants to be on a top three all-NBA team so he can supermax. And if you ask him, he'll tell you that means more to him than being MVP, and I don't see him as an MVP. Brian Windhorst, go stick your head in some sand, because that is the stupidest thing I think I've ever heard. If anything, if he ever – when the national media pretends like they know everything about a team, I always laugh because Devin would want to be the MVP. Devin also would like to be an All-NBA, and Devin would also like to be the MVP of the NBA Finals. So when you say that, 100%. MVP will guarantee you a spot on All-NBA. How do people not see him as an MVP? Let me see if I can break this down. The MVP, they always say, is the best player on the best team. Let me see who the best team is. Oh, it's the Suns. Let me see who the best player is. Oh, that's Devin Booker. But we will look for other teams, other guys to give it to because of what? So, as usual, the national media is a year late with the Suns. And that's just the truth. Mikal Bridges was an all-defensive player last year. Didn't make one team. He's the defensive player of the year this year. So we'll see if they give it to him. But no, you know what they're going to do? I can tell you now what they're going to do. They're going to put him as the first team all defense and then look for him to do it again next year. Our coach was the coach of the year last year, but they didn't give it to him. They gave it to Tibbs. Let me tell you how the Knicks are doing. Oh, they're seeded number 11 this year. What are the Suns? Better than they were last year. So they'll give him Coach of the Year this year, even though he should have been last year. So my point is, the national media always looks at the Suns the following year. They're always late.
Yeah,
because the NBA is married to the Lakers and LeBron. ESPN is married to the Lakers. So no matter what, we're going to get that feed and that hit. What are the Lakers? Battling New Orleans to get a home game in the play-in. And let me give you the exact quote from Mr. LeBron James. He said, the playing game is some bullshit, and whoever thought about it should have their ass fired. I wonder if he feels that way now. And you know what happened to his team? Let me tell you what happened to his team. Every game this week when he played or that he didn't play, other than the two games that they won, this is what happened.
I mean, they pretty much just kicked their asses. I mean, it's nothing else really to say.
He has to say that after every game.
Yep.
So,
well, no, okay,
look,
here's the thing about, I mean, and everything you bring up is crazy. And now I didn't understand. I didn't know Windhorst was on here locally yesterday, but I didn't get the tweet because somebody, I saw on my Twitter feed, somebody just said Brian Windhorst's name, and they had, like, the person with, like, the hand over the face. So, yeah, now that makes sense. Like, of course, yeah, and that's what I was going to say to you. The best player on the best team, you know, usually gets MVP. And we were talking about this last night, too, and I said, you know, it depends on what your supporting cast is doing around you. Do you make them better? Like, if you make them better, you're the MVP. If you miss a game or two here or there, three or four games, like, can they win without you? Because you obviously helped elevate them, and, yeah, they're stepping up. But when you play, they're that much better. So, yeah, people can say, oh, well, you know, I can even get with the argument that Chris Paul takes a little bit of the wave from Devin Booker for that reason, because how Chris Paul elevates the team. But Devin Booker, obviously, talent-wise, is right there. And you look at it, and I said, how can Devin Booker not be in the MVP conversation? And not even just in it, a serious candidate, because, I mean, right now, to me, it's Embiid. And I see what Joker's doing. I mean, I think Joker has the highest shooting percentage in the league at, like, 57%. And I get the Nuggets are at six, but I said last night, if you thought Joker was MVP last year, it goes to your point about Mikal Bridges being an all defensive team member last season and a defensive player of the year last year. If Joker got the MVP last year and his numbers are even better than this year and he's helped leading his team with all these injuries, then how can you not put him at the top of the list? Now, I see what people say about Embiid, and I think Embiid is the MVP because having to deal with not having Simmons and that supporting cast, then you trade, which wasn't bad, then you trade for Harden and he's in there now and they're winning, and I see Embiid's numbers and consistency. I can see if people give it to Embiid, but to say Booker's not in the conversation with those guys, I'm with you 100%. It's ridiculous. And you just made the point, too, at the end, if it was the Lakers or, you know, if it was the Celtics and this and that, and people would be like, oh, well, yeah, I mean, LeBron's on the best team. LeBron to win MVP every year. LeBron's a terrible shooter, and I know he's gotten better, and it's not even haterade, but when people say, oh, his shooting got so much better in his career, well, if you remember, his shooting was absolutely atrocious from the field if he wasn't dunking when he first came in the league, his first, I'd say, even 4 or 5 years. And that's fine. He was only 23 at that point, but still, like, it's just, you see, like, I'm all for him taking a deep three. If he hits it, I'll just smile and, like, tip my hat because I know it's not somebody like, you know, Curry out there shooting a three. So, yeah, I mean, all this other talk, hey, if you're the Suns, enjoy it. Let them talk about everybody else. I know, again, when you have daily shows, you got to talk about something. But how can you talk, to your point, how can you talk about the Lakers every day or every week when they just get smacked around? And, I mean, even if they survive through the play-in, Paul, lastly, if they survive through the play-in, they're done in the first round. I mean, I do hope Anthony Davis comes back. So then, to these Lakers fans, you and I can sit there and just laugh at them, and when they're trying to talk and make excuses 2 years in a row now, well, cool, you got LeBron. If LeBron's the best on the planet and you have a guy like Carmelo that's actually off the bench can score and you have some guys that are scoring, well, you should be able to beat the Suns, right? So, yeah, it's ridiculous and annoying.
Yeah, and this isn't to pick on him at all because we all know he's one of the greatest players ever laced up. I just find the MVP race funny because – we're handing it to Embiid. Embiid's record is 3 games better than what Joker has the Nuggets, and he has nobody. So that's why, honestly, out of the two, I'd give it to him. But even if we're going to say, okay, Embiid versus what Booker would do, let me do some simple math, please. I wasn't a math major in the issue. I was a communication major. The Suns are 13 games better. Maybe it's the way I said it. So let me say it again. They're 13 games better. If the Suns lost their next 12 games, they would still be a game up on the Sixers. But the MVP is going to come from a team that's much further back than the Suns. Anyway, that's a whole other. Right. What are you breaking into a car?
No, I'm out.
Are you
outside. Somebody's. You heard that? That's like, no, I'm just outside. I'm outside talking to you because it's so nice, and that's like that. I'm in the backyard, and that was like all the way down the street. I can't believe you heard that. That was funny.
Wait, are you committing a felony on air? You breaking
man,
into a car?
Get out of here, man. See, this is why people think that you know what you're talking about. My God, it's down the street. If I was right next to you, it would have been louder. Man,
okay.
Pretty,
you're my guy. Hey, listen, I'll tell you this right now.
See, there,
there you go. Are you taking
it? Yeah.
You're taking the catalytic converter, aren't you?
Okay, you know what? You just – see, this is what you do. You cause trouble. You cause trouble, and then people look at me and be like, what's going on? I'm like, dude, really? Like, you're going to listen to him and think that I'm outside of a car that's down the block. That's somebody doesn't know how to fork their alarm, and it's nice outside, and I'm on his show, and now he accuses me of taking stuff. Man.
Smash and grab, brother. Smash and grab.
All right. Don't do that.
I got to ask you this. I'm winding right now, the one that only believes in backdoor basketball. My character, you know, we're going to get into these brackets. But before we do that, there's been a lot of trades in the NFL. The NFL looks like the NBA. We have a lot of big name players moving all around. But before we get into those big names, I want to get into the Cardinals and their big moves before we get into what every other team that's winning is trying to do. So let's get into the Cardinals' big moves this offseason. All right, now that we did that, let's talk about some of these other moves.
God, you are just saucy today.
Well, it's the truth. I want to talk about the Cardinals' big moves. Let's see. Hold on. Okay, we just talked about their big moves. Everyone around them in their division.
Wait. Time out. You're making me a Cardinals homer. Look, I know it's not. Look, they weren't going to get Tyreek Hill on the trade. This is the problem because I agree with you. There's some things they could have done. I think they could still bring in Bobby Wagner, which would be huge for them because he stays in the division and he gets to beat up on the Seahawks. But look, bringing back Zach
met with
Ertz,
the Rams yesterday.
Have a tight end, that's
he met with
oh,
the Rams
he
yesterday.
With the Rams?
Bobby Wagner met with the Rams
met.
Yesterday.
He met, but he didn't sign. So let's just we'll see how. Hopefully he doesn't go to the Rams because I mean repeating as you and I know it doesn't happen. Too often in the NFL. But look, re-signing Zach Ertz, yeah, I get it. It's not the speedster. But re-signing Zach Ertz is huge for that offense because you know as well as I do, every single quarterback needs a tight end that is that safety blanket. That's all I'm going to say. So, yes, is it the big splash that you're saying? No, I agree with you. But it's about being smart and what you need. And look, I know that it does, that Cardinals fans get like this all the time, but it doesn't mean that something's not coming in the draft. And with as much as trades are going on, I just we'll see what happens. But I think re-signing Zach Ertz was awesome, so I like that a lot for the Cardinals.
So let me just look at this one more time, just so I make sure you and I are on the same page. I don't want to be on a different page and a different book. That would be unfair. So I just want to look at this real quick. So the Chiefs make a big move. The Dolphins make a big move. Raiders make a big move. Buffalo makes a big move. These are all what teams? All these playoff teams, right? All these teams are going out making big moves. And the Cardinals' big move is, well, we re-signed Zach Ertz. Yeah. That's going to do it. Even though we lost Christian Kirk. Oh, but you know what? Wait till we get the draft, because let me go back to Steve Kine's draft pick, which we've done on this show before, because he hits so well with all his draft picks. In fact, Kine is the draft guru of the NFL. Only if more GMs can draft like Steve Kine.
Oh, man.
Boy, how great would those teams be? Steve Kine, the NFL draft guru.
Hey, man, the draft isn't an exact science, and I'm not saying that Kime hasn't made mistakes, but nobody was complaining when he took Buda Baker. Nobody's complaining about that, and look what Buda Baker has turned into. Yeah, you didn't re-sign Chandler Jones, and I think they should have paid him last year. The Raiders did it, and look, if Chandler Jones, even if the Cardinals offered around the same amount of money, you and I both know that he wasn't going to take it. Or, I mean, he would have left because he wanted to get paid in the beginning of the season or extended. Okay. And they should have brought back Chandler Jones. I don't disagree with you on that at all. But I'm just saying, with Christian Kirk, Cardinals fans were all over him the last half of two seasons ago and kind of a little bit in the beginning of this season getting off to kind of a slow start and having all those drops last year now, or two seasons ago. This last season having as many drops. And I think people would have crushed Steve Kime if they paid Christian Kirk the kind of money Jacksonville did, and he knows that.
So let me ask you this question, right? So the Cardinals lost Chandler Jones. Their other end rusher is 47 years old, right? And he'll be hurt. Let's be honest. J.J. will get hurt. He'll get hurt right around game one or two. He'll break, like, his pinky finger on his left toe. So he'll do something ridiculous like that and be out all. So now they'll have no rush. And then you have DeAndre Hopkins, your quarterback, alienated the best receiver in Cardinals history. You got Zach Ertz. You have no slot guy. Oh, but you know who you do still have? You can bring back Andy Isabella, who can run real fast in a straight line. boy, though. And who else did he let go? He let go his running back. He let him just go down to Miami, and he keeps the running back that gets hurt every year. Come on. And you expect him to compete?
Okay, well, no one expected them to do what they started to do what they did last year, too. So I'm just, look.
Yes, we did. Oh, no, yes, we did. Yes, we did. We
If you did, that's fine. Nobody expected them to be the last undefeated team.
No, I'm going to give you credit for
nobody expected them.
You did.
I just said they'd be 11-6. You're right.
Right,
I had them at 11-6.
But they did what they do. They fade. You know why they fade? Because Cliff is a fader. He is not allowed to drink coffee.
Oh, wow.
Coffee for closers.
We've had this conversation. If it happens this year, I will get on board with you. Fans hear it now here on your show that I will get on board with you. If the same thing happens at the end of next season, that's fine. I will get on board with you. But it was his first year in the playoffs. He still got to the playoffs. So, yes, you get to the playoffs, and, yes, you have a beatdown. Hey, everybody has to take steps. Jimmy Johnson, okay, Jimmy Johnson is in the Hall of Fame. When he started with the Cowboys, he was 1-15, 3-13.
What did Jimmy accomplish? Hold on. No,
7-9. Yeah.
What did Jimmy win in college?
He won a national title.
Okay. What did Cliff win in college? He won the conference. No, he didn't win that. Bad comparison.
Oh, wow. No, right, it's not a bad comparison because we're not talking about college real quick. We're talking about the pros. Jimmy Johnson, his first 4 years, lost miserably. So my point is he built it up and he didn't fade. But – well, Cliff has gotten better every year because they didn't go to the playoffs, and then they worked
until
up to the playoffs.
Until it's time to close.
And he still went to the playoffs. Okay. That's fine. You and I will agree and disagree. But if it happens this year and they don't win a playoff game, if it happens, I will get on your team. I will come on the show, and I have no problem having you just chime on in again, you know, and say all your stuff. But I'm just saying, Jimmy Johnson, he was very good at personnel, and they drafted great, and they developed great, and the free agents they brought in, they plugged in very well, but they had that core that they drafted and developed. So, again, different era, different time, I get it, but we'll see. I'll get on board if it happens again.
And before we switch to brackets, I'll give you 3 minutes to answer this question. You ready? Name the core that Steve Kime and Cliff Kingsbury drafted and developed. There's your 3 minutes. Let's go to these brackets because it wouldn't take you that long. My bracket is busted. My bracket was over the first day. The first day when St. Peter's, who I thought was located in Russia, St. Peter's, beat Kentucky. And it got progressively worse. SC's out. Kentucky's out. Baylor is out. Everyone I picked, Tennessee is out. And then teams that I picked on a whim are still there, like Texas Tech, Duke, Arkansas. But it makes no difference. My Final Four is busted. How are you in your bracket?
You know, surprisingly, I'm not too bad. First of all, the Big Ten is trash, and it was like last year, and they played their games against each other, and I knew they would be tough games, and they'd look okay, but everybody that was on the Big Ten, I had Richmond beat Iowa, wasn't sold on Iowa. I got to say, I wasn't sold crazy on Purdue either, but Illinois losing, Wisconsin losing, Iowa losing, Indiana losing, Michigan State was never going to get past Duke, and everybody says, well, look how close it was. You're a basketball guy, and yeah, they all had their starters in, and it was close. Oh, but then Duke went on a 20-6 run in the last three 3 minutes and, what, 10 seconds of the game, or 3:15 of the game. 20-6. 20-6. So, yeah, Michigan State. I love Tom Izzo, but, yeah, don't give me that. So, the fact these Big Ten teams are out, I are, you know, crap in the bed. I'm having hey, I'm with you on St. Pete's too. Look, I know they were from New Jersey, and I was like, it makes me tough to pick against them because Kentucky's going to beat them, and then they beat Kentucky. Then they take Murray State from Kentucky and say, we're going to slap you around too. I hope they beat Purdue. That would be phenomenal.
What conference is Purdue from?
But no,
what conference is Purdue from?
The Big Ten.
Is Michigan so loud?
But they didn't deserve as many teams as got in, is my point. Because, I'm sorry, you look at Michigan State's, okay, Michigan State got a 7 seed. Why don't you look at Michigan State's out-of-conference record, an in-conference record, and, okay, let's bring it out to the Pac-12. Look at Washington State's or Colorado's.
How many teams are left in the Pac-12 that are in? Two. There's only two. There's two from the Big Ten, two from the Pac-12.
The Big Ten was supposed to have at least four teams in the Sweet 16, if not five, from the way they were set up. All I'm saying is Michigan State, you could replace Michigan State with Washington State or Colorado. Just look at the resumes. That's what I'm saying. I get it. I'm not going to waste time with the boring numbers because for shows that's boring, and you and I both know that. I'm just saying – the Big Ten is not going to win a national title this year, just like they weren't going to win it last year. And I did think Kansas would be the first one seed out, and that went to Baylor. Carolina beat them. But, yeah, my brackets are looking pretty good, man, because, I mean, I got 11 of the 16. I got 11 of the 16, and I have, I think, 7 or 6. Six of the eight, and then I have three in my final four. So I'm looking good, man. I like it. But I will say this. It's still coming down to Gonzaga and Arizona, and people can sit there and call me a homer like you do on my show, saying I picked all West Coast teams, because as you and I both know, outside of people that work at these sports stations – they're not watching West Coast basketball late at night on a Thursday night, or they might watch it on Saturday, but like they're not watching it on Wednesday night when it comes on at, like, you know, I don't know, 10:30 Eastern time, 11 o'clock Eastern time.
But it's not their fault.
They don't watch.
It's not their fault.
But that's why Big Ten, I agree. But that's why Big Ten fans will sit there and say that when you look at it. Like, oh, last year they're supposed to be – Illinois was supposed to beat U of A again and meet up with them, and Illinois is home. So that's my point. Like, I respect that they have talent, they have players coming back, but don't tell me when you look at – again, Indiana won their playing game, and then they get bounced in the first round, the first four in, and they get bounced in the first round. Like, you're telling me when you look at the resumes and the numbers that Washington State – is not there, or even if you say Colorado too, because Washington State, Colorado, right there. So I'm saying if you have to split between one of the two, I could definitely take Washington State and Colorado over Indiana and Michigan State. But as for the brackets, it's Gonzaga's to lose. Drew Timmy just showed why he's again, as you would say, you know, a 12th year senior or whatever, because out. But that's okay. Love you. And it's going to come down to Gonzaga. I mean, I think it'll be a tough game. I think Tech beats Duke. And I think Gonzaga in a tough one ends up beating them. And I think I have UNC and Carolina. I have that on that side. And after what UCLA did to St. Mary's, and I get Carolina beating Baylor. But you and I mean, haven't seen Baylor play quite a bit this year. Yes, they were good. And I know they got banged up for a stretch of the season. They were still winning at a decent clip, and not the same team they were last year. So for Carolina to come out and play that way, but I don't think Carolina beats UCLA, and I think it definitely looks good. And I was not shocked that that Auburn lost, because actually at Auburn losing to USC, not Miami, because I thought USC would actually, since I don't know, they had like a 2.5-foot height advantage on Miami seemingly altogether, that they would take care of business, but they didn't. So I'm just happy that that Auburn lost too, because I had them losing in the second round. So, yeah, I mean, it's overall it's been a fun bracket, and I just like seeing the Big Ten get smacked around. And all those Big Ten people, you know why they lost? Because they put ketchup on their hot dogs. That's why.
I like the Big Ten. I'm not gonna lie. I'm not gonna pretend I don't. I'm from Chicago, so I grew up on Big Ten basketball. I think in any conference, and I truly believe this, I think when the ACC was in their heyday, and you had, you know, North Carolina was great, Duke was great, Wake Forest was great, NC State played well, even this year with Syracuse, didn't have a good year, but generally when Syracuse was good, you actually jumped from the Big East. I think no matter what tournament you go to, because there's so many good teams out there, you're never going to get more than two teams, generally, in the Sweet 16 from any conference. So so I'm glad the Pac-12 has two schools left. I'm glad the Big Ten has two schools left. Honestly, Michigan wouldn't have been one of the schools I picked to come out, but they did. So I just think when you get into this realm of basketball, there's so many competitive teams out there. And this is the one year where there's not that great team. And all these teams are different. So a lot of the styles, what I'm noticing, aren't matching with styles. And
this is
going to
make me vomit to say, but see, I think that's kind of been the tone and the conversation, at least the second half of the college basketball season. I mean, after obviously the calendar turned to the new year and you're getting into January, saying not a great team. First of all, I think the way that Gonzaga plays, they are a great team. I think the way that Texas Tech plays defensively, and again, offensively, I get it. There's some spurts, but I think Texas Tech is a great team. And lastly, making me want to vomit, Arizona, when fully healthy, I'm sorry, is a great team. Like, it makes me vomit in my mouth saying this to you, my friend. So please don't throw stuff at me. But Arizona, when fully healthy, the way that they're playing, they are a great team. I think those three, to me, are. And then, yes, there's below that, I'm with that conversation. I'm with that narrative. But I just think that's kind of been – and even though I obviously respect a lot of these national analysts, I can see what they're saying, but you can't tell me fully healthy that Gonzaga, Texas Tech, and Arizona – and you know what? I even might – and not just because it's last year – I even might put Duke there, too, because I think Duke's been the most inconsistent of those teams. But I'll say right now, for a team to be, 32-3 right now, I'm sorry. And, yes, they're out of conference. They do play tough teams. I know they have that loss to Tennessee early in the season, did Arizona. But to be 32-3 right now, I'm sorry. They're healthy, and they are a great team.
Well, they don't have any good guard play, if we're going to be honest. And when I say great teams, it's easy to say great teams versus teams that are playing now. I'm talking great teams. I'm talking when there was a Georgetown that was dominant and you knew they weren't going to lose. A UNLV that you knew you couldn't beat. An Arkansas team, 40 minutes to hell, you knew you couldn't beat. Those, to me, are all-time great teams. These are great teams in the context of the teams that they're playing. There's no team right now, even if I sound like we only got a couple minutes left, if I sound like, old man, get off my lawn. But this Arizona team, even compared to the one that won the national title years ago, that was a great team. These teams are good based on who they play. But there's not that one team that's coming in the tournament where you're saying, oh, crap, I'm going to go number two in my pants if we play them. That team doesn't exist right now. And it's because so many teams are young. Back then, those teams weren't young.
I can get on. I can totally get on board with that. But lastly, I'll just say that, that 97 Arizona team. I mean, Mike Bibby, as a freshman, we know everybody talks about Miles Simon, but I remember hearing Lute Olson talk like Mike Bibby was that missing piece. Like, he was that piece of the puzzle that they needed
a point guard because
of the way he played, the way he distributed. But, yes, but I'm just saying, Arizona fully healthy right now with this length and how the game has changed. I mean, I think they could have definitely run with that team. It'd be interesting.
But do you see what I'm saying? I'm saying there's not an old – there's not, for lack of a better phrase, there's not an old shit team.
like, man, we got to get home and watch this team play. There's none of those in this tournament. So every given night, a team can beat a team. Look, Arizona, as good as they are, if they lost to Houston, it's not a surprise. They're not even favored. Houston is favored to beat Arizona. So my point is there's not that old shit team. But listen, time is going to get us. Tell everyone where they can check you out.
On Twitter, at Diablo00, believe in Pac-12 hoops, because, yes, we all know that the left coast doesn't get enough credit, even when Paul's picking on me. I love it. You can find me on his show hanging out with him because he lets me and tease me a little bit and say I'm breaking into cars and stuff, which isn't true. And then on Mondays and Wednesdays, the Sports Arena, 10 o'clock Eastern time, you can check it out on YouTube. I'm the Sideline Sports Network co-hosting, schooling people about the Phoenix Suns for my guy here, too. And last night, like I said, one guy said they're not a finals team, and I'm just like, you're clueless, but it's okay. We need clueless people in the world to make us smile, so that's what I'm talking
exactly.
about.
Well, and don't forget, most importantly, you can check out Mike at Mike Carotenu's ChopShot.com, where you can get any part for your car. Just don't look for the serial number.
All right, buddy. Yeah, it's funded by my venture capitalist, Paul Richardson. Yeah, he's my venture capitalist.
All right, buddy.
Oh, man.
I will get with you, man. I appreciate you. We'll talk soon, no doubt.
All right. You're the best, brother. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, bro. Later. The one and only Michael Carotenuto. That's my guy, 100 grand. Listen, last segment brought to you by Scout and Sullivan's Wine Consultant, Tina Calhoun. Give her a call, 602-410-4821. Set up your free tasting. Tired of wine, having sugars, additives, preservatives, all that crap that you don't like. Give her a call. Wine done the right way. No sugars, no additives, no preservatives. Just natural content in their wine. Scout and Sullivan's Wine Consultant, Tina Calhoun, 602-410-4821. All right, everyone, it's time to break it down. I appreciate you hanging out with us today. Thank you, Maduros, for hosting us like you do all the time. Don't forget when you come in here, let them know that the Cave Show sent you, PLR, and they will take 10% off the U.S. cigar purchase. One of the best humidors you're going to find in the Valley. Great selection. Again, if you can't make it in, go to Stogie World, S-T-O-H-E-I-E, world.com. And if you order early enough in the day, they will ship the exact same day. Everyone, be safe. We have a best-of show for Friday. Enjoy the rest of the tournament. Like I said, if you have a bracket, I just decided mid-show, I'm not even going to give you all my picks because I don't want to see you lose. But and then I pivoted. Again, I love the word pivoted. I'm going to go with Houston. I'm going to go with Gonzaga. I'm going to go with Texas Tech. I'm going to go with Villanova. I'm going to go with Kansas. I'm going to go with Miami. I'm going to go with Purdue. And I'm going to go with UCLA. So those are your teams to all win and go on between today and tomorrow. Check Twitter for my picks after that. Everyone, thank you for joining us. You can find us iHeartRadio as well as Spotify. Just follow the Cave Show. It's brought to you by the Sports Cave. Make sure that you download it so that way you get notified when we come up. You will get us every day right here at the Cave Show. Go to sportscave.com, Cave with K. Hit listen live, and there we are. You also can follow us on social media at the Sports Cave on the Twitter, Instagram, and the Facebook. And me, you can PLR directly, PLR on Sports on the Twitter. So you have everything. Listen, everyone, be safe this weekend. Enjoy each other. Be good to each other. And most importantly, think for yourself. Do your own thoughts. And the one thing I didn't touch on real quick before I go, New York has lifted his ban. As I said on the show, has nothing to do with Kyrie, has everything to do with the Yankees. New York was not going to screw the Yankees. So we will get a healthy running Nets team, all because of the Yankees. Send them flowers and send them a thank you note. Until next time, everyone take care. Enjoy yourself and have a great weekend. It's the Cave Show. PLR Tips, bring us home.